All right, here we go. I'm warmed up now after that Capital One business. Let's do it.
Pete, can I want to keep that in because you sounded orgasmic.
What would you do, Pete,
right,
if your son was at home crying all alone on the bedroom floor because he's hungry and the only way to feed him is to sleep with a man for a little bit of money, but your daddy's gone. So where's fucking rock now? In and out of lockdown. I ain't got a job now. So for you, this is just a good time, but for me, this is what I call life.
Ooh. With my consumption of strip clubs, look, that is my life.
A lot of people listening will remember that song.
Yes.
What they won't remember is that is an autobiographical account of your life, Pete Donaldson.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about me, yeah. Pete smoking rock and stripping.
City High Donaldson.
City High, that was that band, wasn't it?
In and out of lockdown. That's what they say about you.
What happened? They're the sort of act that may have... There was a London festival. Hello, by the way. This is Luke Beachill. Pete Donaldson with you. It's the 16th of... August. Jesus Christ. And we're in a situation where we're talking about City High. There was a festival at weekend before last that was in London, and it was like the home of like R&B and kind of like dancey acts and stuff. And nobody turned up. None of the acts turned up.
Right.
Do you remember Maya from... She was one of...
MIA, a different one.
No, she was one of the...
All I
wanted
to do was boom, boom, boom.
No. The one,
she's actually really good.
Yeah, she's very popular with the hipsters. But this one was the one who did the Rugrats movie song, and also she was part of Lady Marmalade with all of the Christina Aguilera. Do you remember? She's tiny little... Little bird.
Hey, lady mama la.
Yeah.
I went back from the mic because I was just going to give it some.
Really? Yeah. So she was in the country. She didn't manage to get there because of a COVID thing. She was just pinged or whatever. And literally none of these acts turned up. Some people just turned up and they played 10 minutes. It was apparently the Fire Festival of London.
Oh, how have I not heard more about
it?
I know. What's this got to do with City High?
It's the sort of band that would have played that or not played it in this particular case.
They only had one song, City High.
What happened? Creative differences.
Yeah, I don't know, really. Yeah. We've done what we came here to do.
Yeah. You'd think that they'd have more in the tank, though. That's what I don't understand.
Yeah.
Confusing.
Yeah, very confusing. Welcome to the Luke and Pete Show for a Monday. Pete, how pleased do you think I was that when I was off for a week, the show came out late?
Yeah. You were in what do you call it? Suka? No, what do you call it? You were in
what?
When you're happy.
Oh, obviously, yeah. In
is it suka?
You can get suka from something.
It's like a kind of like sustenance.
Sucker. I was in clover.
Clover. That's it. Yeah. That's annoying.
You thought I didn't do anything.
What do you mean? Just look on your podcast app.
He probably does nothing. So I just carry on as I normally carry on. And it fell over because I am the organised one.
You don't edit the show. I edited the show.
Well, I've organised for you to edit it.
Right, okay, fine. I mean, what I would say is that when you click publish now and it says this has been published, there's a secret handshake there that makes you think that's probably been published.
Not even that secret.
If you were going to do
a secret handshake, say we had to have a secret handshake here.
Wouldn't do it with the back end of certain systems that we've got to deal with.
Could do it any back end. Could be problematic. It's a workplace. Because you know that, have you ever seen that video of that basketball coach? I think he's of a high school or a college basketball coach in the US.
Mm.
And he's got a big cohort of basketball, big cohort of basketball players.
Yeah.
And he's got an individual complicated handshake with every single one of them.
Yes, you see that with like teachers at schools and stuff.
And the video shows him doing it with every single one of them. He doesn't get any of them wrong.
Yeah.
What would yours be? With me?
I just don't want to touch anyone.
No. Can't do it in COVID now, can you?
Yeah, I'd put my hand on my chest and just do a little nod, a little Japanese bow.
I'd be underwhelmed by that.
Why? I'd be saying sweet nothings as I did it.
I'd love...
Oh, pleased to meet you.
Yeah. It's quite Japanese.
Yeah, sorry, little Japanese
on brand.
Yeah,
quite on brand.
Yeah.
I was in the US, that's why I wasn't here last week, everyone.
Yes. I didn't want to make it clear just in case you were a terrorist risk.
I was
Air Force One.
I was allowed to go there. I ticked all the boxes, did all the admin.
Dotted all the I's.
Oh, and believe me, there was admin.
Was there? Wait, is it a pain in the arse to get in and out and all that stuff? Bearing in mind that whether you've got COVID, it's very binary, isn't it? And we've got systems that, you know, make it clear whether you've got it or not.
Yeah.
So why these can't be employed at airports, I don't know.
Yeah, I think, to be fair, I think it's probably, I'd say the British are being harsher about than the Americans are.
Yeah.
So coming back into Britain was quite tough. And getting on a British Airways flight, because I guess all the responsibility has been devolved to the airlines.
Yes.
You kind of understand.
Mm.
That was quite tough. So I was only able to go because I'm the husband of an American national.
Yes.
So I had to show our marriage certificate, but you had to show COVID tests, had to show. So America won't recognise our vaccines. So they don't give a
That's
shit about the vaccine.
Right, okay,
they're coming back in, they want to know if you're double vaxxed, they want to know if you booked your day two test to release thing, they want to have a passenger locator form, you had to wear your mask the whole flight.
That's really interesting that they don't allow you to, they don't accept your vaccines, because you've been in a situation where it's like you've been vaccinated. It would be quite political if they allowed, if they didn't ratify certain vaccines for America, but accepted foreigners, the foreign version of it, so to speak. Interesting.
Yeah. But I think it might be because, so I don't think America distribute the AstraZeneca vaccine.
No, no, they don't, no.
And that's what I've got.
Yeah.
So maybe something to do with that. Actually, wearing the mask on the flight wasn't that bad.
No.
It actually helped me sleep better, weirdly.
Do you have it over your eyes?
Yeah, no, because you know that on the plane, the air's really dry.
Yeah.
With the mask on, it's kind of less dry.
Moistened up. Yeah, that makes sense, I suppose.
It could be a coincidence, but I slept very well on both flights. Mm. And it doesn't normally happen.
Did, like Mr. T used to do on the A-Team, did
yeah, my wife gave me a glass of milk.
Give you a glass of milk or a beef burger.
Yeah.
How'd I get here? You ate the beef burger. It happens every time, Mr. T.
I'm an American now. speaking of when I was in America, so something happened which I thought you might be interested in. Mm. So went over there to surprise my father-in-law, Elsie. Shout out, Elsie. He'll be listening. He always listens to the Luke and Pete show. And he didn't
I'm imagining you jumping out of a snowman, even though it's summer.
It was about 35 degrees, so it wouldn't be very well thought through. He'd have to get back quite quick.
Yeah, yeah,
No, we surprised him and he didn't know, and it was great. And it was a great birthday present for him.
Fun.
It was his birthday. And what we did on the first night we were there is we had a nice fire pit in the garden.
Yeah.
Beautiful evening and the garden's big. So got the fire pit out. And Evan, my brother-in-law, Mimi's brother, is an outdoorsman.
Yeah.
Right. So his job is tracking animals in different parts of the country. He's doing, I think he's doing tortoises at the moment. But he's done loads of different stuff. Sage, grouse, all sorts of different bits. Anyway, the point is, a lot of the time it means that he has to live outside. So he has got like a converted car thing where he sleeps in his car if it's cold or whatever. Anyway, they made up a big chili and a cobbler and some corn and we cooked it all on the open fire. Mm. And it was a great evening, right? It was really good fun. We had a lot of nice food. And we'd just sit around chatting. So about 10, when it was, it had gotten dark and their garden's big, one of their dogs, Aspen, legged it down to the bottom of the garden and all this commotion started happening.
Mm.
And to cut a long story short, or to turn a long story boring, as my dad would say, he'd killed a skunk.
Oh, wow.
He'd chased after a skunk like it was a squirrel and killed it.
Yeah.
Have you ever smelt a skunk?
No. Stinky dog now.
Nothing on earth
can prepare you
for how much it stank. Like, so basically, right, if I said to you, you're in a social occasion and there's a horrible smell, so someone dropped their guts or whatever, yeah, I know what you're thinking because you're British, so you never would have seen a skunk, right? So you'd have been like, you'd be thinking, that's
a dirty
annoying.
Fart.
It stinks. Yeah. God, yeah, what an annoying thing. No.
It's like your eyes are going to hurt.
I'm going to tell you now. Night's over. The night's over. The night is over.
Right.
Even though it was outdoors, the night is over.
Because the dog now smells of skunk.
Imagine, right, an overpowering smell that inhibits everything you're wearing and everywhere you're going, and it stinks of rotten garlic crossed with gas.
Right.
And it was mad. I just was not prepared for how something natural could produce something like that.
Uptown skunk, gonna give it to you.
Don't believe me, just smell. Don't believe me, just sniff, baby.
Oh.
Do you know what I thought to myself? You know when you saw the hippo get hit with the tea tray?
Mm.
And you thought, I'm never going to see
that
again.
I'm never going to see that again, yeah.
I, for about 5 minutes, I was thinking, that's really annoying because I'm having a really nice time and now this skunk's ruined it.
I mean,
the second thing I thought,
he was dead.
I wish Pete was here to smell this because I'm not going to be able to articulate to him properly how badly it smelled. I mean, people listening will know. If you've got a skunk story, email it in, hello@lukeandpeacher.com. Larry, the great LC, said to me, that was only a juvenile skunk. It gets worse than that. And I was like, get out. It can't get worse than that.
Everyone get on the fire.
It is a great way of describing it. It's outside. Mm. The next day, it still smelled outside.
So what happened? It just popped it or something and it just went everywhere.
No, I get scared.
You get scared
and it fires that out.
Shizzing it out.
It just fires it out, yeah.
Oh, lordy.
Yeah.
That's horrible. But did big Big Larry get his birthday fun.
Yeah, he loved his surprise. I mean,
he loved the excitement of a skunk getting popped.
He had some time off work, so we spent some time together. It was great. But my point is just the kind of, you know, the interesting part of the story, I suppose, is just the fact that a skunk got involved. And I wasn't expecting it.
Part of the party.
Yeah, you see a lot of different animals around that you don't see here. So you see chipmunk.
They're quite cute. Yeah, that's sweet. Cute. Yeah.
You see skunk. You see raccoons.
Yeah.
Which are, I mean, everyone hates raccoons in the US, but I've never really had my bin turned upside down by them, and I just think they're really cute.
Yeah.
So I'm cool with raccoons. You get possum as well. You get all sorts. I saw a couple of turkey vultures while I was out there.
Oh, well, weirdly, speaking about, sorry to bring it back to chipmunks, we talked about chipmunks a little while ago. A lot of them have got the plague in California.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We talked about it on the show a couple of shows ago. Yeah, apparently in Lake Tahoe in California, one of the beaches was closed down because a number of chipmunks tested positive for the plague. Yeah. You don't need that from Chippendale, thank you.
No, and I think...
No, thanks.
I think, given the 18 months that the world's just been through, I think apparently July was the hottest month since records began.
Mm-hmm.
COVID, forest fires in California, obviously, and elsewhere.
Afghanistan,
the fall of Kabul.
Mm.
What else do we need? Plague?
Yeah.
That's just on the chart, isn't it?
Yeah.
Plague.
I'm glad I got COVID out of the way.
You got that out of the way. By the way, a truly seismic event happened, and I'm staring at the evidence right now out the window.
Right.
You drove into the office today.
I did, yeah.
Can I just say, when you turned up, and I hope you don't think this is me being disrespectful, when you turned up this morning, I think you looked the most stressed I've ever seen you.
Well,
I'd
just been told that one of the dogs had gone missing.
Oh, he's back now, though,
got
right?
Got out of the side gate, yeah, Buckley. Is he
the old one?
Yeah, he loves a stroll, bless him. So, yeah, I'm going to stop buying wicks and get a gate latch because they love a stroll.
Right, but he's back now. He's fine.
He's back now.
So that's
fine,
why you're stressed, not the drive.
No, the drive is pretty stressful, but it was like, it took longer than, obviously it takes longer than you envisage. You can't really, you know, you do 2 hours of driving, you're like, bloody hell, I'm knackered now. It's really sort of concentration.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a pain in the bum. But, and also I tried to listen to something a bit more involved, but then I just turned it over to 5 Live was stressing me out because of the Afghanistan airport situation. So I was like, this is horrible. So I turned it over to my favourite radio station, Lucas. A radio station I think I might want to reinvigorate my radio career. I would like a job on Chris Country, the Christian country music station that is in the UK.
One of those in the UK?
One of them in the UK.
DAB?
DAB, yeah. I don't know why I've got access to it, but it has become rapidly my favourite station, simply because all of the songs are fucking ridiculous. From start to finish, fucking ridiculous. They're all God-fearing songs, but also drinking songs.
Yeah.
It's all about drinking too many shots and having unprotected sex, but also God is good, God is glory. It's very... very bizarre.
I want to be clear.
And they're all presented by people from like Birmingham.
Yeah, I want to be clear with our listeners because I'm not sure this myself.
Mm.
Are the songs American songs?
All American songs, though there are an increasing amount of bands who, you know, want to take the old country Christian dollar and move out there and do shows out there and become quite big names. There's one song that really makes me laugh, and it's a little bit like the Billy Joel "We Didn't Start the Fire," but for stuff what Southern folks would like.
Oh.
So it's like chicken on a Sunday in a NASCAR race.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this is pathetic.
I think that's a song. I think that might be the name's going to escape me now. That's...
there was dirt on daddy's clothes.
It's not helping me think.
We didn't. We had it all, but we didn't have much.
That's a famous song.
Is it?
By the son or the grandson of a really famous country act.
We had it all, but we didn't have much. Justin Moore.
Oh, no, it's not the one I'm thinking of. There's a famous song about what would have happened if the South had won the Civil War.
Right.
It talks about all the things that are great about the South in the modern day.
Yeah.
So basically, it's American country songs.
Yes. Presented by Capital Radio DJs.
That sounds jarring.
It's bizarre.
Is it jarring?
It is jarring, yeah, it is.
Could you do it?
No, it'd sound worse than them. Because they sound slick. As slick as daddy's oil ranch.
What? How do they do it?
They go...
What's an oil ranch?
I don't know. They go... Hello there.
That's not Birmingham, is
coming
it?
Up next.
Straight away, that's West Country.
All right, there. All right, there. Coming up next on Chris Country, we're going to have Justin Moore with a song called We Didn't Have Much. Hello, I'm Irish now. But the lyrics, do you want to hear the lyrics?
I can see why that's confusing.
Do you want to hear the lyrics from We Didn't Have Much? Tonka trucks and G.I. Joes jumping those hills with a Luke and bow. Plastic cap guns and a swimming hole. Don't get no dirt on your church clothes. It's so shit. But this is released in 2021.
You could write... That's
fucking hell.
Remember when you used to do YouTube videos for our channel? That's the kind of song you would do.
I kind of want to write a fucking country song. Dog barking in the yard at a truck we don't know. All we had was us. We had a little bitty house and a lot of love. We had it all. We didn't have much.
Yeah. It's not great, is it?
I can still hear Grandma reading that red letter book of John.
When I used to manage a band, right, there used to be a weird combination of... So one of them really liked pop music. One of them really liked punk.
Yeah.
The other one really liked like power pop type kind of super furry animals, Gorkies, that kind of stuff. And one of them really loved metal,
Was there a place where they could all agree?
Yeah, no, they used to bring all these different things to the table. Yeah. It was quite interesting. But at one point, I remember one of them brought a band called Striper to the table. Mm. And this is back in the day, so he made CDRs of a Striper album, gave them to all of us.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the era where you would just look on the internet for everything. I started playing it. And the album was actually an album called, I think it was called Soldiers Under Command, right?
Oh, they're like a Christian heavy metal.
And it was Christian metal. And I remember thinking, like, this is really odd because aesthetically, it's basically just like glam metal or whatever. Mm. But the lyrics are all about God.
Yeah.
And it's a very, very strange thing. There's something about Christian music that is like, I need to clarify this because Christians obviously can make great music, you know, amazing blues musicians, gospel, that kind of stuff. But I'm not talking about Christians who make music. I'm talking about Christian music.
Yes.
Which is
difficult sometimes.
Universally shit. It's always shit. And I'm not even talking about when, you know, Hellhounds on My Tail, Robert Johnson, one of the greatest blues musicians ever. That's a song about faith, but it's not a Christian blues song.
We're talking about DC Talk, not singing the bands.
Yeah, exactly. So I wonder why that is, because the other thing about it is interesting is I do this album listening session with my friends once a week, every week, never miss it. We've done 100 records now. And what's fascinating is, one of the records we listened to was by the Congos, right?
Yeah.
Heart of the Congo. It's a classic reggae record. I think it's one of Lee Scratch Perry's first productions or whatever. And all of it is about, it's basically Christian music. Mm. But for some reason, because it's really authentic reggae, it sounds really cool.
Yeah.
If we listened to a Christian metal album, I just don't think it would, there'd be no,
resonant
no
the
it,
same.
I wouldn't feel there'd be any merit to it. I don't know why.
It's cynical. It can appear cynical at times, I think.
I don't think it does. I think I think they're authentic. I think they believe it.
Oh no! Yeah, there's just too much money to be made. That's what I mean. I just don't buy.
Country's massive.
Country's massive, and Christian countries are just as big, I imagine. But I just find the music, and the reason why I enjoy listening to it, and I listen to hours of it. You know, when I'm driving, I'm listening to.
About 6 hours to get in this one.
It's Chris Country, and all I'm doing is listening to that. And the thing that makes you laugh is, like, it's very comforting. And it reminds me of being on holiday. It reminds me of being in, like, Texas or something.
I can see that. There.
So it brings back the time when I could travel. So that's why I love it so much. I've decided I'm going to be a big country star.
The generation, I'm not sure that'll happen. The generation of us that we are is, like, it's funny, isn't it? Because I drove down to the West Country a couple of weeks ago and I was flicking through the channels and I flicked onto Kistery, you know, the old school Kiss station. And they were playing I Bring You Flowers in the Pouring Rain. And it was wicked. Mm. And I listened to it for about another hour, hoping for another good song to come on, but one didn't.
One didn't.
I could have just put Spotify on, but I didn't.
Because
the radio's different. Anyway.
Tim Gaines recently issued a statement in regards to his departure from Striper. My recent demise within the Striper camp came about because I actually have testicles. I stood my ground when I was told to give up the woman I love, who is now my wife, or get fired. What an ultimatum in 2017 for Striper.
For a Christian band as
well. Christian band, I know, right?
Crazy.
Let little dogs lie. Let things lie.
I thought you were going to say let love in.
Let love in, guys.
It's let sleeping dogs lie.
Let sleeping dogs lie.
But also, as we know,
not if they're pissed on the bed.
You lie down with dogs, you get fleas.
Exactly.
Let's have a break, Peter.
Yeah, we've got about 5 minutes left of this show. We're nattering like bloody buggers. And we're back. It's the Luke and Pete Show, part two, on your Monday. What have you got on the email train, Luke? Climb aboard it. Don't get your legs caught underneath the tracks, please.
Choo-choo. Will there be a buffet car?
There will be a buffet car.
Just serving up more emails.
Please.
Very expensive
sashimi.
Emails.
Chicken sashimi.
Raw chicken sashimi. Hello at lukeandpeachshow.com is the email address. We are at Luke and Pete Show on Twitter and Instagram. We don't do much tweeting or Instagramming, but I mean, it is worth following us for the time that we do.
True.
What a ringing endorsement for our social media that is. I've got an email here from Daniel who says, "Good afternoon, Luke and Pete. I hope you're well. I'm a couple of episodes behind and I've just listened to the episode Sunburnt Nostrils. Oof. A colleague I have access to recently ran in the Suffolk Backyard Ultra. Now, Sunburnt Nostrils, for those who haven't listened to that episode, is based on the fact that some people do an ultra marathon in Death Valley. Just a quick recap. And the sun is so hot and the heat is so intense that the reflection from the asphalt on the road reflects up their nostrils and gives them sunburnt nostrils on the inside of their nose."
Ugh.
Anyway, Daniel picks up the story again by saying, "A colleague I have access to, yeah, as I said, recently ran in the Suffolk Backyard Ultra. Although it's slightly different to a usual marathon, I thought you might be interested. The difference is this. The competitors have to complete 4.167 miles or 7 kilometers for your European listeners, lap every hour to stay in the race. So every hour they have to have done just over four miles. At the Suffolk Backyard Ultra, the winner ran for 81 consecutive hours, beating the previous record of 75 hours or 312.5 miles. They would have to eat and take power naps between laps in order to keep running. A remarkable achievement of human endurance, Daniel." I mean, that is incredible. I mean, that is...
I think something should be taken out of people's hands.
I don't think that can,
I don't
that
think you should be allowed
you.
To do that.
That
yeah,
can't
you
be
shouldn't,
good for you
shouldn't be allowed to do that, I don't think.
How many... So, Pete, on that basis, so 4.1 miles an hour isn't that tough. That's a fast walk.
Right.
Right? To put it in perspective, if I go out for a walk, I normally do about 3.5 miles an hour. A lot of people will do 4 miles an hour. I remember Sir Ian Botham used to famously on his long walks to John O'Groats, used to do about 4.5 miles an hour. So it's,
right.
All I'm saying is it's not an unachievable walk. Knowing that, what could you do?
I could do three. Well, I'll do three then.
No, but I'm saying how many hours could you go for?
Oh.
In the current shape you're in.
Oh, God, three maximum.
3 hours?
Yeah.
You reckon?
3 hours just walking. Oh, I'd be done. I wouldn't be able to walk for the rest of the month. But yeah, I think I can do 3 hours.
You could do more than that.
I couldn't. I'm not very fit, Luke.
I reckon I could probably do eight.
Right.
8 hours.
All right, well, just start
work.
Now and come back.
A day's work. I don't think, I mean, I did about a 30-kilometre walk in the lakes with Mimi a while back. Admittedly, I wasn't checking my pace, but at the same time, it was a lot of undulating hills and stuff. I reckon I could do eight. I mean, let's agree that 81 is mad.
Yeah, no.
Because that is 24, 48. So that's 3.5 days.
But what's the power naps between laps? How long are, the,
so
how
I
long
guess,
are they?
I guess if he's doing 4 miles in an hour, I guess what he's probably doing is he's running, say he's running at 8 minute miles. He can do the miles in, like, what, 40 minutes?
Yeah.
And then do 20-minute nap, I guess.
Nap, right. Yeah, because I find that you can nap for, like, 5 minutes and back on top.
It's funny that, isn't it? Do you remember that TV show, that show they had back in the day? They'd never be able to do it now, called Shattered, where it was like you stay up for as long as you can.
Right.
And the one who stays up the longest...
wins.
Basically gets a big prize, a lot of money at the time.
You start by, like, being quite delirious after that, wouldn't you?
So that it was in 2004, I was looking it up now. The 10 contestants are challenged with going without sleep for 7 days while their actions were constantly monitored. Over the 7 days, the 10 housemates had to endure daily performance testing and a variety of challenges, and they were competing for a potential prize fund of £100,000. But if they closed their eyes for over 10 seconds, any of them, £1,000 was taken from the pot.
But you could kind of surely open your eyes, because some people can just sleep without their eyes closing, no?
It's not great, though, is it?
It's not ideal.
One of the things that, so this is the interesting thing, one of the things that came off the back of it, and why I don't think it'll ever be done again, is apparently, although research had been done into the effects of sleep deprivation, no one really knew what to expect. And there was a lot more hallucinating than they thought.
Yes, yeah, so, yeah. You got a loopy after a while, don't you?
Contestant Chris believed himself to be the Prime Minister of Australia.
Yes.
Dean and Jonathan were convinced their clothes had all been stolen. And Claire began telling fabricated stories of when she was arm wrestling Irish boxer Joey Ruin. None of which happened.
Lovely.
And finally for now, Jimmy became irrationally angry when the others refused to put on their Japanese armour and play with an imaginary ball.
That sounds like an excellent show.
So the winner endured 178 hours of sleep deprivation.
Right.
There we go.
That's just too much, isn't it?
I wouldn't want to do it. No amount of money could get me to do it.
No. I mean, that, you just know for a fact that if you had heart palpitations in the next month, you'd be like, well, I've fucked it, haven't I? I've absolutely fucked it.
I think you'd probably have to be a little bit weird to agree to do it. Mm. Another thing they did apparently as well is they did an hour-long challenge every day where one person had to do a challenge for an hour, which essentially was designed to help them go to sleep.
Right, okay, yeah,
so
yeah,
like,
yeah,
counting sheep on TV was one of them, listening to a bedtime story, cuddling a giant teddy bear, and a face massage.
But you would... Oh, mate. But you would... That's the thing about sleep. There is nothing more delicious than sleep when you know that you're allowed to go to sleep.
But you know what's interesting, Pete? It's a really interesting reflection of what the internet used to be like in 2004.
Yeah.
Where it was that Wild West kind of quite quirky, really interesting place before it's become that total hellscape that it is now. That TV's like a reflection of that. Because although that's probably quite dangerous and maybe, you know, I don't know the science behind it, but perhaps rightly so, it shouldn't be done again.
And created by people who don't sleep due to chemicals.
Yeah. The executive producer was like, I don't fucking sleep anyway. But it's an interesting idea for a TV show, right? Isn't it? I mean, it's quite a cool thing.
Well, did you watch, you probably didn't watch the clip I sent you, documental, Japanese TV show.
I can't watch, just to put it in perspective, and everyone listening will realise why, I can't watch anything you send me unless I'm on my own.
Well, that's fair, but, I mean, the WhatsApp preview was a link to Daily Motion, which doesn't hold hardcore pornography, however much you look.
No, it's not about hardcore pornography. It's about the fact that it might be something really weird and inappropriate.
Well, it was called Documentals in Olympic.
Yeah, that's probably why I didn't click on it. I'm watching Boardwalk Empire with my wife. I'm not clicking on that.
Good show. Great show. But if bloody...
Oh, no. I've not finished it yet.
What?
I'm only three episodes in. Don't be piping up with anything, Donaldson. It's just Game of Thrones all over again. You and your bastard dragons.
Oh, dear. All right, then. Yeah, basically, it's a TV show where a lot of Japanese comedians are just in a room by themselves.
Right.
And they have to make each other laugh by doing like little jokes and stuff like that. And the first person to laugh gets thrown out until the winner is...
Do it on this show.
Yeah,
no
exactly.
One
yeah, no,
out.
No one gets... Be there for 8 hours.
Yeah.
But this guy's one little skill. He calls it the In Olympics, and it's basically a room full of very unhealthy looking men. And this guy, probably the least unhealthy looking man, a Japanese chap, big sort of Kwan glasses.
Yeah. So if any of them laugh, they're out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So this.
He's trying not to laugh now.
Everyone's trying not to laugh. After this man has done this thing with his body. Here we go, look. So this man is trying to make people laugh by doing the following. He's taking his top off. He's just wearing red briefs.
Red pants.
Yeah. Can someone say ready, go? You'll figure out the rules. Here we go. He's a man, he's just pulled out his pants really quickly and just spread his cheeks.
Yeah.
And he's called at the In Olympics and the alarm's gone off because someone's been spotted laughing, basically.
I would not be able to not laugh at that.
No. And some of them are, one man was laughing at him because he had a toilet roll in his cheeks. One man is pretending he isn't laughing, so he tries to turn it with a yawn.
He's decimated the field there with that. Yes. What a power move. Yeah. What a power move.
Pull down the kecks, just pull it apart and then look.
People are expecting something different.
They were.
And that's why.
Yeah, they were.
That's the key to great comedy, isn't it? Expectation versus reality.
Or just show them your anus.
Yeah.
Let people look up your
Listen,
anus.
Get your bum out.
Get your bum out.
That's about all we've got time for today's
True.
Luke and Pete show. Mm-hmm. How could we possibly follow
end.
That?
What an ending.
In many ways, it was entirely predictable that it would end with a Japanese man getting his bum out.
It's not just the bum, though, is it? It's the anus.
It's the anus.
I mean, it's...
Anus.
You just feel like you a bit assaulted when you see a man's anus.
Yeah.
You just do.
I can remember once being on a WhatsApp group. I'll squeeze this in before we go, so to speak. A WhatsApp group where I was supposed to go on the stag weekend and I couldn't go for whatever reason. It was years ago. And but I was left on the WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
And so all the stuff that was happening was contextual to them in whatever Eastern European city they're in.
Yeah.
But it wasn't to me.
Yeah.
At one point, photograph of an anus.
Anyone you recognise?
Loads of laughing emojis for everyone else. For me, I'm just sat in the office. Context is everything.
Yeah. But you won't open my WhatsApps.
No.
Pathetic.
I learned my lesson then. That's why I won't do it
Disgusting.
Now. No, I'll open yours when they're not links. If they're links, I can't do it.
Just check the site. Dailymotion's not going to show anything. YouTube's not going to show anything.
Yeah.
If you see 4chan.org, you've got issues.
The people I'm with, I'm worried about the contextual...
Live leak.
The context.
No.
Lemon party.
Lemon party, yes. All right. We'll be back on Thursday with more Lemon and Pete Show.
Yeah.
And if you'd like to get in touch with the show, it's hello@lukeandpeteshow.com.
Yeah, look forward to that. Have a great week until Thursday, and we'll see you then.
Look at that anus.
Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.